But anyway, our God can do anything. And there's an interesting series of passages here, and we're going to draw these from three different books of the Bible. And it's an interesting scenario because it talks about this king of Judah in Jeremiah, in Ezekiel, and also we're going to go back to 2 Kings. And you say, what on earth are you talking about? The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But the key word there is study. There are blessings throughout the word of God that you're going to get, that I'm going to get, that when we study, when we go a dig deeper than just the surface. And what we need to do is to remember that there are things there that men could not have put there.
That's right.
For instance, how do you get, and I'll just give you a little background. The Bible was written by about 40 different authors over a period of about 1,500 years. Many of them never met each other. And how do you have one continuous, consistent book with the theme of redemption? How do you put a book like that together? There's only one way. We have a great God that told the men what to write.
That's right.
And that's how we have the Bible.
Amen.
And I want to focus, I'm going to read a few verses. So here in Jeremiah chapter 32, let's start with verse 1. Let's stand and honor the word of God. Starting with verse 1, it says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, wherefore dost thou prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans, but shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him mouth to mouth, and his eyes shall behold his eyes. And he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there shall he be until I visit him, saith the Lord. Though ye fight with the Chaldeans, ye shall not prosper. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings. And Lord, I thank you that there are things in this world, things in this Bible, even the putting together of some of the scenarios that we see in the Bible, it just seems impossible. But Lord, I thank you that we serve a God that not only can do the impossible, but your forte is the impossible. Your strength is what we think is impossible. And Lord, we just ask you to move in a special way tonight. Lord, we want you to be glorified. This preacher is well capable of messing up everything you have for your people tonight. And so, Lord, I just beg you, don't let me do that. But Lord, let your people hear the message that you have for them. And Lord, we're going to give all the honor and the glory and the praise to the one that's worthy, that blessed name of Jesus, our precious Savior. For it's in that mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I look at this particular passage, and this is, a lot of people don't realize it. I'm going to start with this. First off, one of the hardest things that Jeremiah had to do was preach an unpopular message. I want you to get that. You and I don't realize, but Jeremiah was called And if you go to Jeremiah chapter 1, the Bible says that he was ordained from his mother's womb to be a prophet to the nations. And I want you to get this in the fact that Jeremiah was called to preach. But he was called to preach to people that weren't going to want to listen. They were not going to want to hear the message. Why did God give him a message like that?
I like preaching something everybody likes. Makes everybody feel good.
Guess what? I got news for you. You better preach what God called you to preach. You better say the truth. Our teachers, one of the things I comfort myself in is we've got Sunday school teachers that are not going to water down the message.
Amen.
They're going to tell it like it is. The kids need to know. By the way, and I tell this to the kids in the jail too, and at the youth shelter, they're smarter than you give them credit for.
Right.
Okay? They know when you're blowing smoke their way, so to speak. They know when you're not telling them the truth. They know when you're watering down the message. We need to make sure that we don't water down the message. Jeremiah refused, even though it was absolutely hard on him, he refused to water down the message. And it got him in hot water. And so point number one is persecution. Look at what it says. Verse number two. And it says, for then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem. And Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, wherefore dost thou prophesy, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. Is that not what happened? If Jeremiah had watered down the message and preached a popular message, what you're going to end up having is you're going to have Jeremiah being punished by God. You say, well, he's being punished anyway. Not near like he would have been had he not taught and not preached what God wanted him to preach.
Right.
And I'm going to go ahead and say this in the fact that me as a preacher, and I'm going to talk to Ryan as well, when we preach a message, Brother Myron, when we preach a message, it better be out of this book.
Amen.
And it better not be what we believe or we want people. Hey, our job is not to teach people what they want to hear, but what they need to hear. Give them the truth. Let the Lord, and you know what you're doing when you water down the message? If Jeremiah had watered down the message and preached a message that was not true, was not what God wanted him to preach, you know what happens? Jeremiah puts himself above God.
Yep.
He's saying, I know better than what God does. Boy, you want to talk about a dangerous place to be, that is it. You and I need to remember that Jeremiah was trying to do his dead level best in a tough situation. Nobody wanted to accept it. Nobody wanted to believe that the king of Babylon was going to conquer the city of Jerusalem. But we know today in the fact that that's what happened, and that's what needed to happen for the land to rest for the 70 years that God told them that they were going to rest. But I want to bring out a couple passages before we move on to another passage. But look at chapter, this is the verse that I mentioned to you earlier, Ryan. Look at verse 17 in Jeremiah 32. And it says, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee.
Amen.
I want you to get that. My message, the title of the message, it seems impossible. There are things in your life, there are things in my life that seem impossible. Seems like we'll never get it done. It seems like, I know a lot of people say, well, Jesus is coming. And I know sometimes it seems like pie in the sky. It seems like we're dreaming the impossible dream. But guess what? It's going to happen. May not happen. Well, I can go ahead and say this. It's not going to happen on my timetable, because the Lord would have already come back if it had been on my timetable. Okay? But the truth is, He's got His timetable, and He's not going to be a day early. He's not going to be a day late. He's going to be right on time. But it says here, if God can make, it says, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. Wouldn't you like to have just sat there and watched that take place? Watch Him stretch out the heavens. The Bible says He spanned the heavens with His right hand. What? His hands are big enough that I guess His thumb and his little fingers stretch out the entire universe.
Yeah.
You say, preacher, you're dreaming. Hey, well, I'll prove it to you when we get to heaven. How's that? But the truth is, we serve a God that can do anything. And it says that there's nothing too hard for thee. Look at verse 27, same chapter. Look at what it says. It says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? It's almost like the Lord saying, hey, bring it on. Find something. Something, is anything too hard for me? I can do anything, basically what the Lord's saying. Whatever problem you have, no, whatever problem I face, no matter what it's, my stupid legs, whether it's my situation, no matter what it is, I'm not worried about it. I've got a God that can take care of it.
Amen.
What about our country? It's going the wrong way. If you're surprised, you haven't been reading the book. Because the book tells us it's going to go the wrong way.
That's right.
The book tells us it's going to get worse. But I want to focus on the fact that what seemed impossible to the Jews at that time, they knew that they were God's chosen people. By the way, they still are. Okay? Mm-hmm. Don't ever get to a point where you listen to somebody say, oh, it's them, and them Jews, they're the fault. I got news for you. If you want to blame somebody, blame Adam and Eve. That's where all sin came from. That's where the curse came from. Guess what? And by the way, I would like to get my finger in Adam's face one day, except for one thing. I can't guarantee I might not have lasted as long as Adam did. But I want to focus on the fact that here we see that God promised, and Jeremiah spoke the message, he preached the message, he was persecuted for the message, but he told the truth. There's coming a day when you and I, if we stand for the truth, we're going to be persecuted for it.
Right.
We're in a political turmoil in our country right now, to where people make stupid decisions and they justify it by even more stupid evidence. But the key is, they don't really understand what's right and what's wrong, what's good and bad. But let's go a step farther. Go to Ezekiel chapter 12. Lamentations is right after Jeremiah, and then Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 12. And this, my second point here, is prophecy. God's prophesied something that's going to happen to the king of Judah, and something's going to happen that we're going to have some questions about right here. Look at what it says in verse 13 of Ezekiel chapter 12. And it says, this is the Lord talking. It says, my net also will I spread upon him, and he shall be taken in my snare. Talking about the king of Judah. And it says, and I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans, yet shall he not see it, though he shall die there. Now, I've got a question. And I know that the king of Babylon said, whoa, how is it that I'm going to be taken to the king to Babylon, and I'm going to die there, and I'm not going to see the land? Well, that sounds, and you sit there and think, well, that's crazy talk. That can't be happening. There's no way for that to happen. It happens. You say, well, how do you know it happened? Well, first off, I want you to think about the possibility, or maybe the impossibility, of the fact that how could the king of Babylon, number one, be taken from Jerusalem to, or king of Judah, be taken from Jerusalem to Babylon? God said, use Jeremiah to say, hey, the king of Babylon's going to conquer Jerusalem. That's exactly what happened. Number two, he's going to be taken to Babylon, and he's going to die there. And then turn right around, and he says, but he's not going to see the land. Now, how is all that going to happen? Well, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 25. And this will clear it all up. 2 Kings chapter 25. The last chapter of 2 Kings. Well, let's start with verse 1 and we'll read to where we need to be. It says, and it came to pass in the month, in the ninth month, or the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his host, against Jerusalem and pitched against it, and they built forts against it round about. Kind of sound like he was there to stay. Okay? He built forts around the city because he wasn't going to leave without taking it. Look at verse 2. And it says, And the city was besieged under the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And on the ninth day of the fourth month, the famine prevailed in the city, and there was no bread for the people of the land. And the city was broken up, and all the men of war fled by night by the way of the gate between two walls, which is by the king's gate, or by the king's garden. Now the Chaldees were against the city round about, and the king went the way toward the plain. And the army of the Chaldees pursued after the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho, and all his army were scattered from him. Kind of sounds like a free-for-all. Nobody there to protect the king. They're trying to protect their own self. Look at verse 6, and it says, so they took the king and brought him to the king of Babylon, to Riblah, and gave him judgment upon him. Now I want you to understand what Jeremiah, what God's message was to the king of Babylon and to the city, was the fact that if they surrendered, they would live. I want you to get that. And the fact that God promised them if they surrendered to the king of Babylon, they would live. But they refused to surrender. Remember, God said that even though they fight against the city, they're not going to prosper. They're not going to benefit from fighting against the city because God was going to give them over. Why was God giving them over? He was giving the land that 70 years of rest that it deserved. I'm not going to go into that, but they failed to allow the land to have its Sabbath every seventh year for 490 years, and God says, I'm going to get it all back at one time. But let's look at verse 7. And it says, and they slew the son of Zedekiah, the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, and put out the eyes of Zedekiah and bound him with fetters of brass and carried him to Babylon. So not only do you have the persecution on Jeremiah, not only do you have the prophecy, but you've got the punishment on the king. Can you imagine what took place, how awful it would be to see his sons killed being the last thing, and then this is what the way they dealt with people back then. They would kill the family before their eyes and then put out their eyes so that that was the last thing they ever saw. And did he go to Babylon? Yes, he did. Did he see Babylon? No, he didn't. Just like God prophesied. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. There are times in our life that there are things that the Bible says that we don't understand. Give God the benefit of the doubt. Okay? There are things in the Bible that say, well, this is, for instance, Psalm 37:4. It says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now that sounds like, boy, I can wish for any, if I try to do what God wants, I can get anything I want. That's not what the verse is actually saying. It's saying, delight thyself in the Lord. If you want what God wants so bad, you're going to want what he gives you. And that will bring your delight. Amen. Your heart will be meshed in together with what he wants. That's what it says. Delight thyself in the Lord. You delight in what he said. Lord, kind of like a child that wants a cookie. But I don't want that kind of cookie. Only kind you got. What God's going to do, he knows what's best for us. And what we need to do, is there somebody you want to see saved? Is there a situation you want to see fixed? Is there something that you seem like that's absolutely impossible to straighten out? Guess what? I've got a God that can do it.
Amen.
I was talking this afternoon to one of our dear friends, and I wish we could ship her all the way from Kansas City to be a part of this church. She needs this church. And you guys would get a kick out of just knowing her. She's a special lady. She got mad at me when I preached one time and walked out. And it was about, I don't know, 6 months, maybe 9 months, maybe a year later. Right in the middle of my message, she walked in and just shocked the stew out of me. But she's in a tough situation. Her son is on our prayer list, has been since we started the church. And she doesn't know where he is. She's got health problems, her husband's got health problems. Got money problems. But you want to know something? When I talk to her, I tell her about our great God. I encourage her to pray. I encourage her, no matter what your situation is, we've got a God that can handle it.
Amen.
No matter how hard it is, no matter, oh, this just is impossible. Remember the title of the message? It seems impossible. But I'm not entitling the message, it is impossible. It just seems that way to you and I. There are times when it seems impossible, but we have an impossible conquering God.
Amen.
He can conquer everything in our life, everything in this world, everything that you face, that I face, He can break, he can take care of it without breaking a sweat. He did this. I mean, think about it. We went from Jeremiah. Jeremiah had part of the puzzle. Then we went to Ezekiel. Ezekiel had part of the puzzle. And then we go back to 2 Kings, and 2 Kings fills in the other pieces of the puzzle. And it all fits together perfectly.
Mm.
I want you to get this. Bible says, fret not. I don't like to fret. Sometimes I do. You'll never know it. She does. There are times when she frets. I know it. You might not. But the truth is, the word commands us not to fret. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Take it to Jesus. Whatever your problem is, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're going through, Jesus has got it all figured out. And no, He's not going to solve it the way you think He's going to. He's going to do a better job. So much better than what we think. Something about He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You can't tax Him with your imagination. Your imagination comes short every time.
Yep.
We've got a great God. Trust Him. Even when it seems impossible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love and mercy. Lord, what a blessing it is. What a blessing it is to know that we have a great God and that He's taking care of all our problems. And You, Lord, it doesn't matter what we're doing. As long as we're trying to please You, You're going to help us. As long as we turn things over to You, Lord, You're there to help us out. And to show Yourself, not only, Lord, we don't ask You just to show up. Lord, we want You to show off. You don't have to show off for us because we know how great a God You are. But Lord, we want You to show off to the people that are lost around us, that don't know You. Thank You, Father, for loving us. Let the name of Jesus be glorified. For it's in that mighty name, that sweet and lovely name, we pray. That name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand.
Turn your hymns to 279.